My name's Alan. I'm a member of Woodbridge Key Church, and I'm here today to speak to you about Frontlines. Now, it's something that we did a few years back, and then we've done the second option of Frontlines as well. So there's more to come. But yeah, today is the penultimate of the Sunday series that is called Frontlines. And if you've not been here, or perhaps you're just needing reminding, Frontlines are those places that we find ourselves day by day in our ordinary lives, and where we come into contact with people who don't know Jesus. Whoever we are, however insignificant we feel, we can all make a difference in the world when we are active on our front lines as sons and daughters of the King, a child of God. Our value, our worth, our significance, and our life on the front line flows from this identity. Today, we'll see how the Lord's Prayer can be used to help us to recognize that whoever we are in our everyday lives, we can be part of God's mission here on earth. It's amazing, isn't it? This is a prayer that Jesus gave his disciples to pray when they asked him to teach them how to pray. This is what he taught them. I've always called it the disciples' prayer, because it's not the Lord's Prayer at all, is it? The Lord's Prayer comes along further in Matthew. But this is the prayer that Jesus gave us. This is the prayer, so it seems, that the whole world knows, doesn't it? But the thing about the Lord's Prayer is that it's so familiar that we skate through it, not stopping to think too much about what we are actually praying, and even less about what it means for us as God's people. Whoever we are, caught up in what he's doing in the world. The wonderful thing about this prayer is that it starts with an assurance of our identity. Praying to be established in our identity as children of God. Jesus tells us to pray, "Our Father in heaven." Now, the first two words are key. Our Father. The Lord's Prayer starts with an assurance of our identity as children of God. Our Father, that means yours and mine. Whoever we are can know and belong to our Heavenly Father. There's something personal going on here, and yet there's something corporate as well. As individuals and as churches, we acknowledge that God is our Heavenly Father. Now, I totally recognize that some people's relationships with their earthly fathers might have not been very good, might have even been very painful. And so they might have not a very good feeling about calling God Father. Remember, Jesus said, "Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father." What that means is get your image of God from Jesus. Get your image of God as our Father from Jesus, not from your earthly parents. Picture this Jesus who could not bear to see someone hurt. Picture this Jesus who is able to 100% empathize with all of us. Picture this Jesus who accepts us as we are, who never moralizes or shames us when we slip or when we fall. This Jesus shows us the perfect Father, and that is who we pray to establishing a personal relationship with him. But there's also something really corporate going on. Jesus is teaching this prayer to his disciples, all the different characters. Our Father, we are joining with all those who call themselves his followers. Together, we enter into something collective, but it's also very personal. It's why in the church we use the language of brotherhood or sisterhood, don't we? Unfortunately, like all siblings, we might fall out. We might have differences of opinion, may see things differently. But we are held together as family when we call on our Father. Our relationship as a child of God is only made possible through Jesus, the Father's one and only Son. It's through him, and only because of him, that we can be called children of God. To those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Isn't it magnificently life-changing to realize that we are first and foremost sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, all because of our faith and trust in Jesus? Whoever we are, know that we are loved with both grace and understanding. There will be times when this knowledge will be your main anchor in the storms of life. There will be those moments in life where it will be the key that unlocks your prison. This will be the truth that brings us the greatest joy, that we are his. My brothers and sisters, your identity isn't to be found in what the world thinks of us or you. Your identity isn't to be found in how much money you have. Your identity isn't to be found in what you wear and what you look like. Thank goodness. I'd be hard-pressed there, wouldn't I? Your identity isn't to be found in whether you are a success or a failure. Your identity is found in knowing that you are his. That's it. You are his dearly beloved child. And it's in being established in this identity that we have a Father in heaven, that we are his children. That is our gateway to a purpose, as our purposes align with his purposes in this world that he created and that we have temporary residence in. It's why we should then pray what Jesus says: hallowed be your name. Praying in for our part in the Father's business: hallowed be your name. I think there's a danger that sometimes when we become Christians, we almost act as though we're enlisting God to be on to our side. We're going to rally him to our causes. He's got to come in there and sort out all of our problems. He's going to sort out all of our concerns. He's going to fight all our battles for us. However, when we begin